Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Marks and Racer back. Mike Schmidt, number two on the GOAT list, coming up at 4 o'clock. Allen Iverson is the GOAT of Broad Street, Ike, as voted by the fans and the listeners of 94 WIP, and his former teammate, 8 years with the Sixers, now the head coach of the Temple Owls, the pride of Simon Gratz. Aaron McKee joins Marks and Reese. What's up, Aaron?
What's happening, guys?
What's up, hey?
I don't know how I let y'all talk me into coming on this one here.
Well, no, listen, we had to get your thoughts on this. You are a Philadelphia native. You obviously played on Broad Street, so your opinion matters. And because Allen is the GOAT of Broad Street, voted on by our listeners, we wanted to get your thoughts on just what it was like playing with the 5'11 assassin.
Well, the good thing about it is you guys didn't even need my vote. So it speaks for itself right there, you know. But, you know, it was awesome, you know, playing with him. I mean, AI to me has always been the star of stars. You know, when you're around it, and Ike, you've been around some stars, and we use it in sports. We use that term in sports loosely. But we know the real stars. The stars are the ones that people pay to see. You know, people pay to see, and you know they're going to put on a show. They're going to perform, you know, all the time. And that was Allen. He never backed away from a challenge. He was always up for it. You know, if it was up 20, down 20, his motor still was running the same. And that's something that your peers respect, because you play the same way every time you step out on the hardwood or you step out on the gridiron. You play the same way. And I think that's the one thing that people respected about Allen. And what we fail to realize, he just not only was he a good player, he was talented, but he was also a thinker of the game. And sometimes that's missed when you have elite athletic prowess. Now, keep in mind, he wasn't the biggest guy out on the floor, but his mindset was pretty good. He had a really good understanding of the basketball game, and no one really gives him credit for that.
Aaron, you played against him when you were with the Trailblazers and the Pistons. What was it like trying to guard Allen Iverson?
I remember, my first time playing against him was I just got traded to Detroit. And I was hearing all this buzz about this guy, and I got thrown in the game. And you know, I got switched off on him somehow. And I just was blown away at the pace and the speed that he played at. And you know, that takes some adjusting to be able to get used to playing against a guy like that. And so that's what gave me the advantage sometimes against other guys, because I would practice against them all the time. But the space and the pace and the speed and the athleticism that he played with was different than what I was seeing every day.
Yeah, I always wondered, Aaron, from a teammate standpoint, right? Like, how did you guys sort of seamlessly fit into the roles that you played around Allen Iverson? And was there ever any sort of resistance, or should I say resentment, that, you know, you knew AI was going to take the bulk of the shots, and I'm just wondering about in a game where, you know, if guys want to get their own, that you guys seemingly supported the way that he played. And I'm just wondering how all that came about from behind the scenes.
You know, it's always going to be some of that.
Yeah.
Nights where you like, man, I could, you know, get a, but you know, the reality of it is we had a selfless group, guys that were willing to sacrifice. And, you know, in order to have a good team, there's a lot of people that's going to have to sacrifice on teams, you know. And I thought we complimented him well. He complimented us well, and he understood his role, and we understood our roles. And there were times for that, you know. But the biggest thing was the consistency part. And we would spend time talking amongst each other outside of it, and we would spend time talking amongst roles and identifying roles and how we wanted to play within the team. And we had no problem with – none of the guys on our team had a problem with expressing ourselves. And so, you know, we were comfortable in our own skin in doing so. You know, when you're not comfortable with that, then, you know, in the NFL, in the NBA, you got options. And
right.
If you don't like your role, if you don't like your role and how you playing in your role, then they'll find you another home,
yeah.
You know. And you know, it's all those things are built around the star. And again, as I said, AI wasn't just the star. He was the star of the stars.
Yeah.
Mm. Aaron, you guys were particularly close. If you followed the Sixers during that time, you knew that I think he kind of looked up to you like a brother. What was your relationship like with him off the court?
It was great. I mean, we got close because we're the same, but we're different. We, you know, at that time, we enjoyed playing cards. That's all we would do. You know, when you get on the plane,
mm-hmm.
you could have a group of guys talking about religion in one corner. You could have another group of guys playing video games in another corner. Then you got the card table. Then you got the dice game. You got all types of stuff that's going on. And those are the things that, you know, brought us closer together. We would always sit across from each other on the plane, and we would talk. But we had a lot of our private and intimate moments just in conversations talking about life, you know, on bus rides, on train rides up to, you know, New York and D.C., where we get a chance to talk about family and life beyond basketball. And I think that's where we got close, and I really got a better understanding of who he was.
That MVP season, that obviously a season that we all still sit here and reminisce about, and we talk about, you know, it led to you guys going to the finals, playing against the Lakers. What was that MVP season like watching him being a teammate? And you were sixth man of the year that year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Coach Brown was coach of the year, and Dikembe, who you guys traded for, wound up being defensive mm-hmm. player of the year. What was that like, watching him have his MVP season?
You know what? It was for us, it was watching the process unfold. Mm. We had our years where we got knocked out by Indiana, and we knew those guys were going to be the team to beat. Each year, we felt like we were getting better and better. And as that time was going, Allen and Coach Brown was having their moments, and, you know, we would step in and say, hey, Coach, we got it. And they challenged them. The organization challenged them. Coach Brown and them challenged them mm-hmm. because they had a deal done. The deal was almost done.
Yeah.
You know, say, hey, man, you're, you know, we can't take it no more. This is it. And here's where you're going. And they had a big blow-up moment, and they talked about him, and Allen felt like he had to make some changes, and Coach Brown felt like he had to make some changes, and those guys changed for the better of the organization, and we came out that season, and boom, we just took off going. So it was a culmination of things that led into that. Allen matured a little bit, as it takes all of us some time to mature into, you know, who we are. You think about his life. You know, every time we land, we go to a hotel, there are hundreds of people out there waiting on. We leave going to the games. And, you know, it's a lot for a young kid to just, you know, come right out of college and you just fall right into that. So there were a lot of distractions that were happening outside of basketball. And I think that moment helped him grow and really helped him become a better basketball player. And that led to him having a MVP season.
Yeah, no doubt about how popular he was everywhere. I'm sure it was like traveling with a rock star or, you know, like a famous actor. He was more popular than anybody.
I've never seen anything like it, and I haven't seen anything since. And even to this day, you know, when he goes into an arena or he goes around, you know, other people. You think about, like, when he played his last game, and even now, my kids and kids, you know, 13, 12, 11, 10, he's still trending with this generation. So he's crossed over into so many generations, and he's so popular. That's why I think everybody see him as the GOAT.
the GOAT of Broad Street. Aaron McKee, head coach of the Temple Owls. Tell us about your team, Aaron, and what's going on. Is there a lot of uncertainty with everything, with COVID-19 and everything as far as this season?
I don't know what to tell you guys. When you, anytime you look on the television and you see the experts being stumped, you know, what am I supposed to tell my guys? Yeah. You know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I just try to follow the facts and the various details that they give us as to, you know, what's going on with this. But for me, safety is first. Mm-hmm. And so we want to slow roll it, and I just want to make sure, you know, just based on the numbers, you know, the age group of guys that I have, they'll be fine. They'll get, you know, sick. But I'm not going to play the guessing game with their lives. I want to make sure we got enough data to say we'll be okay, because now they become carriers. If they become test positive or asymptomatic, you become carriers, and you're around professors, you're around your parents if you go back home. So it's so many different things and so many layers that come along with this. I just want to continue to get the information, digest it, and then I'll be able to give it out to our guys. But, you know, as of now, we don't know. It's a holding pattern for everybody. It's a holding pattern for fall sports. It's a holding pattern for winter sports. So we don't know. At least I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys know.
No, none of us do, eh? Yeah, none of us know. And this thing seems to be changing. And depending on what day you decide to digest the news, it could be bad news for the fall or it could be optimistic news for the fall. So we're all waiting and hoping that you guys get out there on that court, man, so we can be rooting you on and cheering for you this winter.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, Aaron, appreciate it, man.
Thanks, A.
Yep. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Thank you. Aaron McKee?
Yes, sir.
Now, we had to go to Broad Street. Aaron McKee is a Philadelphia legend.
Yes, sir.
From high school to Temple to playing with the Sixers for 8 seasons. So that is, you know, he's one of those homegrown guys that now he's the head coach of Temple.
Yeah.
He's a Philly guy.
Yeah.
He's definitely a Philly guy.
Yeah, man. When he say he was a star, I mean, AI is a star of stars, man, I'm telling you. We planned our weekend, our Fridays or whatever days around. Are the Sixers in town? I'm going to see AI tonight. We're going to see AI tonight because we knew the type of crowds he brought out. And when you're young, you're going
that's
to
where
see
you
AI.
Be.
That's
yeah.
where you want to be at. Oh, where the club at tonight? Where's
the post game?
Yeah,
party?
Where's AI going after the game? Yes, where's he going after the game?
Whatever happened though, Chris.
Yeah, and that's where everybody wanted to be at, man. Listen, I was a little nobody. Just, you know, I got my little NFL players card just to let them know I'm a professional athlete, because there wasn't any face recognition back then.
Sure.
You know, when you're coming off of 3-13 and you're a backup player, it's like, hey, you better have that players card out to let them know. But, hey, man, because to get into wherever he was at, you had to know somebody.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you had to know
somebody.
Yeah, you
had to be friends with somebody he was with.
Yes, because so many people waiting to get in there. You know, when he comes in, he's shutting the club down.
Yeah, pretty much.
Man.
All right, we thank Aaron McKee. Mike Schmidt's going to join us coming up at 4 o'clock. Number 2 on the GOAT list for Michael Jack Schmidt.
I'm pretty sure he shut some parties down, too, in the 80s and 70s. What do you think Michael Jack Schmidt was like around here in the 70s?
I mean, you see that mustache?
Right? Tom Selleck?
Yeah. Pretty sure he didn't do anything. Didn't he say he didn't know anything about the city until after he retired? When he we can ask him about it.
Wow, he was focused.
He was doing
he won 3 MVPs.
There you go.
He was doing a Sunday broadcast, and he was talking about how the day before on Saturday, he was walking around Rittenhouse Park, and it was foreign to him. Because he said he never did anything like that when he was in the city. And, like, he was amazed at how great the city was. And
right.
You could almost hear him being like, I can't believe
I missed out on all this stuff.
Yeah.
But to the point, like Jack just said, man, listen, when that's what greatness is. That's greatness. It's focused. Only thing that mattered to him was playing baseball.
Yeah, AI was a rock star.
Yeah, well, and that mattered to him. He wanted to be, I mean, Jack. I mean, you can come back with Jules 40 bars. You know who Jules is?
Early 2000s singer?
It's AI.
It's AI. It's his rap name.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, he had the rap single that never got released because it had some controversial language in it.
Yeah, imagine that happening now.
No, they'd shut him out.
No, they'd let it go. Yeah. Today? Oh, yeah. These kids, what's the stuff these kids
Yeah, but do you remember what the content was?
I do not.
It was it was.
I just thought it was explicit lyrics.
No, it was homophobic.
Yeah, he wouldn't get away with that right now.
No, he wouldn't.
I thought it was just curse words.
No, and by the way, he pulled it. It never got released.
No, it never got released. Well, David Stern.
David Stern got to him. Yeah. He said, all right.
I just remember 40 Bars. Jules.
Yes.
Rap name.
Yes, Jules with a Z.
Was he at Jackpot Records?
No.
And that's what Jackpot Records was aiming for.
Yes. Yeah, no.
Dude, think about it. When you think about Deshaun. You think he wasn't mimicking AI?
Oh, he loved AI.
The tattoos, everything else. I mean, a smaller guy. That's who he's mimicking.
Yeah. Now, there's – Aaron said it. His kids now are still emulating Allen Iverson.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I won't – my son tried that cornrow thing. And that's not happening. Yeah. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing cornrows.
So, listen, Chris in Delaware has been holding. He wants to talk about the NFL coming back. Malcolm Jenkins today. You want to play this, Jack? Malcolm Jenkins today goes on CNN, and Malcolm is now he's a contributor to CNN, so he's actually he's an employee of CNN. He's paid to come on and speak about different things, and they're talking to him today about the NFL coming back. Here's Malcolm Jenkins.
The NBA is a lot different than the NFL because they can actually quarantine all of their players or whoever is going to participate, where we have over 2,000 players, even more coaches and staff. We can't do that. And so we'll end up being kind of on this trust system where the honor system, where we just have to hope that guys are social distancing and things like that. And that puts all of us at risk, not only, you know, us as players and who's in the building, but when you go home to your families. I have parents that I don't want to get sick. And I think until we get to the point where we have protocols in place and until we get to a place as a country where we feel safe doing it, we have to understand that football is a non-essential business. And so we don't need to do it. And so the risk, has to be really eliminated before I would feel comfortable with going back.
Needs to be eliminated, then you're not going to be going back, Malcolm. Right? Like if what he says and he means it, if it's eliminated, the risk has to be eliminated. He's not going back. It's going to be impossible to eliminate the risk.
Yeah, I agree. But the one thing the NFL has yet to do, and this is why I quote tweeted what he said, that this will get louder as we get closer to training camp reporting dates, is because until these players understand, so it's laid out to them what the safety protocols are going to be, right? They are yet to question what the safety protocols are going to be. It's the same thing that happened to the NBA. That's why players all of a sudden started saying, hold up.
Yeah, and everybody's testing positive.
Yeah, well, leading up to this, when the NBA was setting up this structure bubble that they were going to do, they weren't communicating to the players,
the executives,
in details about what was going to happen.
Right.
So this, with football, the NFL is pushing through because they feel like once momentum is headed that way, players will have to cave and go ahead and play. This, when we say it's being driven by money, it's being driven by money. That's why the NFL wants to push through with this. Because they aren't out there. It's players and coaches that are out there. Mm-hmm. And I believe the season is going to happen, but I also believe there could be players that decide this isn't worth the risk.
Yeah, I think so.
So
I think there'll be some.
Like, you're going to get that.
But Malcolm's also making it known, like, hey, listen, we got to figure this out, and we got to make this as safe as possible for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, like he said, I have
He explained it perfectly.
It's not about them as much as it is guys that's going home to their wives, their children.
His parents that are older.
Parents who live with players. That stuff matters.
It should.
That stuff matters. And when you boil it down to a nutshell, and I'm guilty on this side of it because I'm a former player and I'm a consumer of sports now. I'm a fan. This is entertainment. They are being put at risk to entertain us. Sure, they get compensated for it, but for the player who's going to sacrifice his salary for his health, like, that could happen with some guys. Like, that could happen with some guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's right. This isn't essential. It's essential to the owners and the TV networks.
Oh, yeah, it's essential to Fox and
yeah,
ESPN
the people who
want to
make
NBC,
money
yeah.
off of it. But the players who are being put out there, they are the only ones who can stop this.
Yeah.
They're the only ones who can stop this if players say they don't want to play.
All right, we'll talk about it on the other side. Chris, hang on. 215-592-9494. And back to the Allen Iverson stuff as well. Is he deserving of being the GOAT? That's coming up next. Mike Schmidt at 4 o'clock. It's Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.